spreading through people. He identifies leaders to lead his church, to serve his church, to care for his church. So this whole passage is Paul's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's going back through Ephesus, and he calls the elders, he calls the leaders together to encourage them, to remind them of what they're to be about. So this is a sermon on church leadership, which could sound like terribly boring. Does that sound boring to anybody else? Like, okay, I'm glad I showed up today. But it's actually one of the most important things for us to understand. It's terribly important for ourselves and for us as a church. Like, hey, what is God calling us to do? And so today we're going to look at, like, what are the leaders of the church to be about? What should you be looking for in a leader of a church? I was not a Christian. My cousin became a Christian. He helped me know who Jesus was and follow him. And then he's like, okay, you need to find a church. And so this was pre-internet. So he would help me get and I lived in a different city. He helped me get a Yellow Pages and look up the names of the churches. So we kind of go by names, and he would say, like, okay, go to this place on Sunday. And he's like, tell me who's walking in. It was super judgmental, probably. But he was concerned because he's like, I want to know where you're going. I want to know who you're going with. So I'd get the place, I was like, hey, they're kind of doing this. And then he's like, all right, go home. Let's try again next Sunday. And then, he knew it was important for me to find a church, to find somebody that was a leader that would help me know Jesus and follow him. So it's terribly important. I also think it's very, very challenging in our culture to say, like, hey, what is the church to be about? What are leaders supposed to be about? There's this weird dynamic that's happened, and I think what you see in the Old Testament is, like, there's usually an admonishment by God to the people. It'll say that they're hard-hearted, that they've gone astray, and they need to come back to him. But then it's always quickly followed up with an admonishment to the leaders. An admonishment like, hey, you've moved away from the Word of God. You've kind of tricked things up. And so there's admonishment to both. And I think it's really hard and really confusing. What is the church to be about? What should we look for in a leader? And I think the church has tried to, usually it's a right motive of wanting to reach more people. But then it goes south. It goes sideways when you use things other than Jesus to reach more people. So it's really challenging, and you'll see this in churches and in leaders. Like, okay, we live in a materialistic culture. Can we agree on that? Like, just in general, material things are important around, you know, like that. So what do we have? One of the errors of the church and of leaders is that they start preaching what's called the prosperity gospel. If you follow God, you'll get more stuff. And so that's going sideways, right? But what are they trying to do? Like, no, like, we're trying to reach people in that sense. We are a very efficient culture, right? And so what people start looking for in leaders is they want, like, kind of a CEO type. Like, we need to have this great organization. It needs to be really streamlined. And I want to go into this place, and I'm going to, you know, zap my kids in here. And then I'm going to go over there. And the sermon's going to be an hour and 5 minutes and not too many songs, right? And so we want to get very efficient. I mean, people are trying to reach this culture. It was fascinating. I was talking to one of our neighbors that came back from a mission trip. And she's like, it was in the Dominican Republic. She's like, and then the sermons, the church service was like two and a half hours long. Like, she was like flabbergasted by this. And I was like, isn't that fascinating? You know, like, so I started talking to her. I was like, do you think maybe they're a little bit more dependent on God than we are? Like, do we like short services because we're not as dependent? Because, like, hey, let me get my hour full of God for the week, and then let me kind of move on from that. I was like, they're kind of impoverished. They're kind of needy. Do you think that their services are longer because they're actually more dependent? And, you know, and so, but we can kind of want the pastor to be the CEO. And let me get this clean organization because that's our culture, right? There's nothing wrong with that. We need organization and things like that. I was talking to Jackson a little bit about that before the service, and he said, I think it's a real challenge in churches to be overly organized. He uses the metaphor in this passage of being a sheep and being in a pasture. So you need, like, some organization. There is a shepherd, there is a leader, but we've gotten very organized with things because, as Americans, compared to the world, we're organized people, right? So that starts infiltrating what leaders do, and we want to reach these people, so, like, let's make it really organized. Are we tracking with this? Does that make sense? We also live in a very entertainment-driven culture, right? And so this is a saying, like, we have what? celebrity pastors. Like, that's a thing. Right? And it's not just a big megachurch thing. It is. I read something that was very convicting for me. They're like, hey, the celebrity pastor could have just as big of a problem, if not more, in a small church. Because everything's kind of dependent on them. Right? And so it's not just like a big church celebrity podcast, but that's a thing. Like, hey, who do you listen to, or who do you podcast, or who do you read? And we live in this kind of celebrity pastor culture, and they need to be we need a TED talk. They got to engage me for the whole time. It's got to be sort of quick, right? And then, why? Because we live in kind of, come and entertain me for a little bit, right? And so that's kind of, it's kind of there. And then a third thing is, like, we're very individualistic culture. And I'm not saying the culture, I'm saying I'm this way, right? So what do we want? We want some self-help. What am I going to gain by coming here to, like, dude, you're going to talk to me about church leadership? I need something that I can take away from here. Like, I need my life to improve a little bit from given my hour and 5 minutes. That's what I want. So anyway, I'm just saying, those are all real things. And are all those things bad? Like, no, we need to be organized, and the church should have focus. We should care for the needs of other people. Like, you even these passages on elders, like, you have to be called to have the ability to teach. And so these things aren't bad, but when we make, like, I need my pastor to be that thing, it's very short-sighted. It's very it's not fully biblical. Does that make sense? And so what we see in this passage is, what are pastors to be about? What should we look for in leaders? Right? And one of these things is, as you listen to this, like, you should be, like, taking account of me. Like, okay, like, not that Brian's perfect, but is he displaying these qualities? Some of you, like, we'll say, like, we believe that there's supposed to be a plurality of elders. Some of you may be being called to be an elder, to help lead the church, to help care for the church. Right? And so all of this, and so it helps us to know about this thing. There was a quote by Tony Morata that kind of drives, I think, at this confusing thing. He says a pastor isn't a cowboy. Just like, hey, I'm on my own. I do whatever I want. And then you just kind of go along with me, right? And so even for us, like, we're part of organizations. We go through assessments. We go through these things that help us know, like, hey, I'm not just out here like, hey, I got this wild idea to plant a church and come along. A pastor, or just by myself, a pastor isn't a cowboy. He's not a CEO. He's not a rock star celebrity. He's a shepherd. Faithful shepherds know the flock, care for the flock, pray for the flock, feed the flock, and protect the flock from wolves. And so that's what we need to look for in a pastor. That's what we need to look for in leaders. And we'll get into this. And so where we're at in Acts is this, it's a farewell speech. And you kind of see these throughout the scriptures. Like, hey, he says, I'm going to move along, and I'm never going to see you again. You'll see it, like, when Abraham passes away. You see it when people die. They give these farewell speeches, and this is one of them. And so Paul calls the elders of this church at Ephesus together, and he gives us this admonishment. This is what you are to be about. And he does it in a couple ways. He gives examples of his own life. He just straight tells them, care for the flock of God. And so there's some exhortation. He inspires them. He instructs them. And he does all this for those that are called to lead the church going forward. And the tone of this is more like soldiers going to war. Right? There's a spiritual battle going on. Because we kind of like think, like, oh, he's a nice pastor. Let's pat him on the head. You know what I mean? Like that. Like, no. Like, what the scripture says, like, there's a battle going on. There's a spiritual battle, there's a physical battle, there's a relational battle, there's emotion, like, there's a battle going on in people's lives, and the pastor is called to point people to Jesus, to help people know God in the midst of that battle. And so you're supposed to get in the battle. One thing I read who said, it says, like, even as pastors, we want to kind of be kind of in the middle, like, amongst the sheep is there, but, like, he talks about, like, the pastor is always fighting on the fringes. You're fighting for people who are the sheep that are trying to run away, right? Like, no, like, you need care, you need love, you need to be around. You're going to see people out, you're kind of getting bit by people. And so there's a call to battle for people, to love people, to help them know Jesus and be a part of his family. And so we see three things in this passage of what we should look for in a pastor, what we should look for in leaders. And again, so if you don't see these things, like, it should cause concern, and you should go talk to the person about it. But the content that the the pastor preaches, the call they have to do this, and then their character as well. So first, the thing that we say is the content. This is the most important call of the pastor, is the content, what you have, what you bring, and the message of the gospel is what the pastor is to be about. The pastor is to be about the gospel, and we need to know first and foremost that the gospel is all about God, and the gospel is from God. And so what the pastor is called to tell you is about God. They're not to be about themselves. And so the pastor needs to be about the gospel, which is from God, and ultimately about God. Look at verse 19. It says, in 18, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord. And so ultimately the pastor is there to serve the Lord. Like the pastor's there not to have everybody serve him. The pastor is there as a servant. It says in verse 22 that Paul was constrained or led by the Spirit. And so the pastor is led by God. It says in verse 24 that Paul says, that I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. And so the pastor has this call to be about the gospel, and the gospel is from God. It's what the pastor is supposed to be about, primarily about the gospel, and it's all about God. In verse 21, it says that I'm testifying repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, it says that he's there to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So the pastor's role is to tell about God, to tell of the grace of God, to tell the good news of who he is. In verse 25, it says that he was proclaiming the kingdom of God. Verse 26 says that he was declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So what we need in a pastors and in leaders are people that are called by God, and everything they do is about God. You want to go to a place, you want to be at a place that's going to tell you about God. You don't need to know more about the pastor. You don't need to need words. Like, we need a big view of who God is. We need a big view of his view of the world, of his plans for the world. It helps us understand the world that we live in. And so that we need to know that the church is to be about God. That's the content of the message. So every week, we gather together to sing about God, to tell of who God is and his grace. That we see that life is a gift from God. That salvation, that even though we've rebelled from God, that we've turned from God, God sought us out. Jesus came and he lived for us and he died for us and he resurrected. Right? That salvation is a gift from God. That he says, I will give you eternal life. That starts right now. You can have life with God right now that lasts for eternity. It's all from God. And so the content of the message is from God and about God. Now you got to be on guard on it, because verse 30 it says, but there will arise men speaking twisted things, and it says to draw the disciples after themselves. And so the tendency is to be to try to draw people after you, right? And so, but the job of the pastor is to draw people towards God, to point them. That's why we say at Crosspoint, we're going to point people to Jesus. Like, he's the Savior, he's the Lord, he's the Comforter. And so the content of the message is the gospel, but it's a gospel that needs to be declared. The role of pastor is to tell of this good news. That's why we preach. That's why we have sermons on Sunday. It's not the only way that the message is declared, but it is a way. And so we declare of who God is. Look at verse 20, it says, declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching in public, and house to house. So there's this proclamation that happens of let me preach the word, but then also, like, let me come alongside you and help you better understand who God is. Let me help you better understand how, as Jeremy and I were talking about earlier, how you can study and understand who God is for yourself. Verse 21 says that they were testifying. Verse 24 says to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25 says that they were
proclaiming the kingdom of God. Verse 26, they said that they were declaring to you the whole counsel of God. It's like over and over. What is it? Testifying, declaring, telling. It's over and over again declaring who God is. So that's what we need in a pastor. We need to tell them. We need somebody that's going to tell us and remind us of who God is and how much he loves us and cares for us and is with us no matter what we're going through. The content is to be declared, but also the gospel is to be demonstrated by our pastors. It's not just to be declared, it's to be lived out. 1 Thessalonians talks about that I was jealous to not only share with you the gospel of God, but my life as well. And it's to be among people. Verse 18 says that Paul is an example to them. 18, it says, you know how I lived among you. So there was something about Paul's life among them as a leader that gave them an example on how to live. The gospel is to be demonstrated through humility. 19 says that with all humility, I was with you. So it's to be demonstrated in that. The pastor leader is to be led by the Spirit. Verse 22 and 23 says that he was constrained by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit testified to me. God says he gives us, everybody, his Spirit. And just, are we in tune with it or not? Are we being led and directed by God's Spirit, or our own good ideas, or even being swayed by what people want? Or we want leaders that are led by God's Spirit, that have a vibrant relationship with God. That it's not all about just like, hey, this happened to me one time, but like, what's God doing in and through me right now? Paul demonstrated that he values Jesus as supreme. We need that in leaders. You want a leader that knows that Jesus is ultimate. Paul says in what verse is it? It says, I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. I value Jesus above my own life. That's what was driving Paul. Jesus was central. He had a clear conscience. Verse 26 says that I'm innocent of anybody's blood. I told you of this good news. I did my job. And then verse 27, it says that I didn't shrink back. That Paul demonstrated the gospel because he was courageous. That he loved people enough to speak life into them. To show them where we're going sideways. And so the primary role of a leader is to proclaim this message that's from God, that it's about God. We need to declare it and demonstrate it. 1 Peter 5 says to shepherd the flock that is among you. So in some sense, you want a pastor or leader that is among you, that you can actually see the gospel being demonstrated. Are they perfect? Like, no. That's part of a good pastor. It's not a perfect pastor, but a repentant pastor that actually confesses the things that they struggle with, the things that they go wrong. They're actually learning and growing, right? And so, like, we get examples of us. If you were here in setup, right, Karina left this morning at 3. So we got 3 kids, and we got them here. And I was like, hey, guys, mom's out. I know you're going to be at church a little bit longer than we're there. Like, can we be helpers? Can we, you know? And then something happened with one of our iPads. Start punching each other, right? And then one was playing the piano, and he was told not to play the piano. And so, like, but it says, don't exasperate your kids to anger, right? And so, like, what did I get? I got anger, like, get out here, right? Like, did I handle it perfect? No. And you guys all saw that, right? But I stopped. We got to the bottom of it. We talked about it, and they turned it around, right? So, like, am I a perfect parent? Like, no. Are we seeking to be that? Yes. Right? And so we see that. You want it to be demonstrated amongst us. So you want to be able to see it. And so, again, primarily is the declaration of the gospel. Okay. And so in verse 28 to 32, we see what the pastor's actually called to. Like, there's a particular role that you have, and it's to shepherd the God's church. Look at verse 28 to 32. It says, pay careful attention to yourself. We'll get to that in a minute as far as character. And to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. It says, therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And so there's a role that God's given within the church. He's given it to what he calls elders at the beginning. He calls them overseers here. He calls them shepherds or pastors. It's all the same thing. It's the people that are to lead the church. He gives them this call to pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock. Somebody smarter than me laid it out like this, that as you think of the role of a shepherd, that the roles of the shepherd are to lead the flock, to care for the flock, to protect the flock, and ultimately to feed the flock. And so the first call for the shepherd is to lead the flock. In verse 28, it calls them overseers. And so we need to know that God's given the church a mission. He's saying, hey, go make disciples. And so the role of the pastor is help lead the church to make disciples, to help people know Jesus and follow Jesus in the place where he's placed us, to build his church. We need to see that the call for overseers, it's plural. Like, we have a conviction that it's not, you're not supposed to have one elder, but like, as you move to an area and you plant a church, like right now I'm the elder here. My prayer, my hope, is that other elders are raised up. Other elders come to help lead the church. Right now, Jamie and Ethan, who were at the church week at Sunup, they function as that for me, right? So they're listening to sermons, they're talking about what's going on, they're making sure, like, is our family doing well? Is the church healthy? What's going on? There's people that are helping lead this, but the hope is that there'd be men that are here that can help lead the church. And so the shepherd is called to lead the flock. And again, you lead people to Jesus, right? You lead them out to pasture. You don't lead them to yourself, right? Jesus is the one that is there. So you want to lead people to him. He's the good shepherd, right? The shepherds are called to care for the flock. Verse 28 says there's this call to care for the church of God. But the pastor is there to help meet the sheep's needs. So as you're sick, as there's relational strife, as there's hard things going on in people's lives, you're there to care for it. So it's not like a burden to care for, like when somebody's sick, like, no, like it's a privilege to be able to care for people, to invest in people. Now, from the flip side, you gotta, as a part of the flock, you gotta let people know you got needs. So be like, oh, the church didn't care for me. Like, well, nobody knew what you were going through, right? And so you got to humble yourself to be able to be cared for. It's beautiful how that's happening at this church, that people are being cared for. The good news is it's not all through me or Karina. It's being cared for by one another, right? And so this is the whole church that does it, but you need to be a part of a flock so you can actually be cared for. A role of the shepherd is to protect the flock. Verse 29, it says that there will be external things that will draw people away. And so we live in a particular culture that will have particular things that will draw people away from Jesus and his church. One of the roles of the pastor is to war against that, right? And so that's why I can even talk about things like individualism and materialism, because those are things that what? Tend to draw us away, right? Life can seem to be easier on our own. Right? It's why 70% of quote-unquote Christians in our culture are not a part of a church. Right? It's not healthy for anybody. It's not healthy for them. It's not healthy for the church. It's not healthy for the world that needs to see the kingdom of God on display. And so we need to be a part of that. And the role of the pastor is help to protect from the things that draw us away from Christ. It's also to protect from internal things that come up. It says that there'll be people that are from the internal, from the church that will draw people away from Christ. I mean, the most blatant example I've seen of this is we were in Winter Park, and there was a church that felt like they were the only biblical church, which is scary, and they would actually send people into other churches to question people's salvation. That was their, like, evangelism strategy. So there's this guy that showed up at a community group, and he started, like, are you really a Christian? What have you done? Have you done this, this, this? And started giving people's list. Now, thankfully, there was three men in that community group that came to us and said, like, hey, you know, somebody invited this guy. He's been at the group, and, like, he's causing people to have angst and anxiety and worry. And then there were three trusted leaders that we had. And so we met, we called the guy in. Right or wrong, Jamie, who I was a pastor with, got very direct, and there was some fist slamming on the ground, like, and just, this guy was, like, literally, like, yes, that's what I'm doing. And he was being very legalistic, that you need to do this, this, and this for Jesus to love you, and God's like, no, like, this is a message of grace. And then in a protection thing, like, you're not allowed to be there anymore, you're not allowed to be at this church anymore, and you're not allowed to lead people astray anymore. So don't come back. Why? Because there's a protection. If somebody's leading people to angst and worry and, you didn't have, you know, so-and-so wasn't healed because you didn't have enough faith. Like, there's just twisted things that get taught. We need pastors and elders to protect from those things. It happens. And again, primarily as shepherds are called to feed the flock. It says that they're to give this word of grace, that to build up people, to help people know Christ, become more and more like him, that we need to be fed the grace and goodness and glory of God. It says in Mark 6 that Jesus saw the people and he had a compassion on them. It says because they were without a shepherd. And then it immediately says, so he began to teach. He began to feed them. And so each week we gather to be fed. You know, we're going through Opportunity Jesus to read through that and feed on God's word so we can learn how to feed ourselves. That's part of the role of the pastor, is to help people learn how to eat on their own. But a pastor needs to feed. And so there's a call to lead, to care for, to protect, to feed the flock. But the good news is, it's ultimately God who leads. It's ultimately God who cares for. It's ultimately God who protects. It's ultimately Jesus who feeds the sheep. Look at verse 32. Paul can leave and says, and now I commend you to what? I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That the good news in all this, that God gives us under shepherds or leaders, but he's the good shepherd. He's the ultimate leader. He's the one that we take our cues from. It's ultimately God's church. Verse 28, it says that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That it was God who put these people in charge of the church. That it that the call is to care for the church of God. It's God's church. That he obtained by his own blood. So you got God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. It's their church. I loved it where it says that he obtained by his own blood. The real, like, the Greek of it is, like, by the blood of his own. That Jesus leads the church, that Jesus gave himself for the church, that it's his. He bought it with his life and death and resurrection. And so ultimately it's God's church, and he's just given us leaders and overseers to point people to him. That's why there's a disconnect when people say that I love Jesus, but not the church. The church is literally called the body of Christ. And so those see, like, I can't love Jesus without loving his body. If I don't love his body, like, I don't love him. Right? And Jesus loves his church. It says that he bought it with his own blood. That there's people that had turned from God, that, like sheep, that have run away from God. But the illustration that they use is that Jesus leaves the 99 to go after the what? To go after the one sheep. That Jesus comes and he pursues us, and he tracks us down, and he loves us, and he brings us into his people through his death on the cross. That he bought it. So Jesus loves his church. It's his church. And the call of the leader, the call of the pastor, the call of the elder is to submit yourself to Jesus, who is the chief shepherd of the church, and to point people to him and remind people of who he is. And we do that with our words, but also he closes that there is your character. So there's lots of good people that can just declare God's word. They're amazing speakers. They can demonstrate God's word. They're sacrificial in what it was. But the character can be missing. Whenever you see, like, whether it's 1 Timothy 3 or Titus 1, the call of an elder, like, able to teach is one thing, and then there's like 9 other character attributes that the elder, that the pastor is supposed to have. That God cares far more about, like, who you are than what you say or do. The first thing we see is in verse 33 that part of this character is that you that an elder or pastor should be content. Verse 33 says that I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. 1 Timothy 3 just simply says to not be greedy. That the pastor and elder like are to use their time and their talent and their treasure to further God's mission, to further his kingdom, to not build up your own kingdom and your own thing. It's confusing, right? There's jets flying around the world and all this stuff going on, and it can be like, hey, let me see what I can attain. That it becomes about greed. But the pastor is called to be content. The pastor is called to be hardworking. In verse 33 and 34, it says that his hands ministered. That by working hard, he declared the good news of God. That the role of the pastor is to be people that are hardworking. You see that a lot because some elders or pastors are paid by the church and some aren't. They're lay elders and pastors. And so like some of my best friends, they were pastors. They worked, you know, 9 to 5. They worked all day, and then they would come together to care for the church, to lead the church, to serve the church. They're hardworking in that sense. The pastors are, the character is to be other focused. It says to help the weak, and as the Lord Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That the role of the pastor is to focus on others, to serve others. And the bottom line is we need pastors and leaders who are loving. You see this in 36 to 38. It says that Paul prayed for them, that he wept over them, or they wept over even him leading. They embraced him and kissed him. That they had affection for them. That they were sorrowful that he was moving on. Why? Because he declared to them the gospel. He demonstrated the gospel. He cared for them. He protected them. He fed them. He led them. He loved them. That's what we need in pastors and leaders. That's what we need to look for. Do they tell us about God? Do they help us understand his grace? Does it help us grow more and more into the image of Christ? Do they love us? I'm ready to close with this. He says, Paul says he served the Lord with humility, tears, and during trials. His humility denotes his posture before God and people. He had a posture, it was about God. His trials remind us of his courage and faithfulness. His tears call attention to his tenderness. I would submit that this kind of service to the Lord is a direct result of a proper grasp of the gospel. That first and foremost, we need pastors who get the gospel, who understand the grace of God in their lives and help us understand it in our lives. The gospel, when applied deeply, humbles us, makes us tender, and makes us courageous. So we want pastors who are humble, tender, and courageous. And so what do we take away from this? And one, thing is that know that this is what I'm called to. This is what people, so like, encourage that. Help that. When you see things that aren't that, speak into it. Pastors aren't above. Paul Tripp says that Jesus is the head of the church and everybody else is just the body. Right? So pastors need this as well, to be encouraged in this. That we need to be a part of a flock. That's the call. That we need to be led, that we need to be cared for. That we need to encourage other Christians around you that aren't part of flocks. Like, hey, this is a biblical thing. This isn't just some like pastor's good idea. Jesus calls people to be a part of his church. Is it a mess? Like, yes. They're sheep. You know what sheep do? You ever been to the little thing where you pay $5 whatever to feed sheep? It's horrible. They bite you, they smell, your clothes smell when you leave. Right? But that's what Jesus died for. Be a part of it. And also, we're all called to be about this. Some are called to lead the church in this, but we're all called to tell of the good news of Jesus. We're all called to care for, to protect, to feed, to lead others. We're all called to be shaped more and more into the image of Christ. You don't need a title to do that. That's what Christians are called to do. So hear it and grow in these things ourselves. And then some of us, it says some of you will aspire to be elders. Some need to aspire to be an elder. We need other people to help lead this church. Pray for that. And so guys, I know it's on church leadership. It feels in some ways that I'm talking about myself. That's weird. But it's hugely important. There's crazy stuff that goes on in the world. Because God says, look, there'll be people that come and lead people away. So you need to have an understanding of what God calls leaders to do. And first and foremost, leaders need to point us to Jesus. And Jesus calls us to be a part of his family, to be a part of his flock. One of the ways that we point ourselves and one another to Jesus is through communion. That's why we do it every week. Jesus says, do this in what? In remembrance of me. It's a way to declare who Jesus is and what he's done. That God himself took on human form. That God himself came after sheep who went after other shepherds, who went after other people. And he pursued them and he loved them and he brought us back into his fold. So it's a declaration that my trust is in him, the good shepherd who laid down his life for a sheep. It's also a declaration that I'm a part of his flock. We do it together. So yes, we go up individually, and yes, this is what I believe, but we also go up as a family. And we need that family. We need that flock to point one another back to him. Let's pray.